It's Hypnotized with Bill and Nikki, live from coast to coast. Just sit back for a spell, put your conscious mind on cruise, and let your unconscious come out to play.
Hi, this is Bill and Nikki, and you're listening to Hypnotized with Bill and Nikki. Nikki's got the whole show planned out today, but if you want to call in, we've got some toll-free numbers that you can call in and reach us. It is the toll-free number in the U.S. is 1-877-876-5227. That's 1-877-876-5227. Now, if you're in Canada, you can call at 1-888-815-9756. That's 1-888-815-9756. You can reach us on the bbsradio.com website, and you can also reach us on our website at www.bill-nikki.com, and that's N-I-K-K-I for Nikki, so it's bill-nikki.com. So what kind of show do we have going on today?
Well, we're going to format things a little different than we've done in the past and try a couple of new things. So we're going to start off with, and hopefully this goes well and we'll do it from here out, but we're going to start with a hypnosis in the news, and each week take a different news story where hypnosis has been, you know, brought up or used or whatever, kind of like a couple years back or several years back, I guess it's been now, when Jennifer Aniston was using hypnosis for, I couldn't even tell you what for, smoking cessation, I don't know, something. Anyway, so what we did, I looked to see some national headlines and see what we could find. And what I found was a story on hypnosis being used for crime fighting. And in Dallas, Dallas police are using hypnosis on a regular basis. Forensic hypnosis it has become mainstream in that area. And what they do is they use it for instance, the one gentleman used it. He was a victim of a crime, and he saw the car that had hit him, but couldn't remember the license plate. So he was hypnotized, remembered the license plate number, and, you know, they then could go, you know, get the individual that had hit him. They've also used it for individuals who had been given information for some, you know, reason in a trial or otherwise, and for those individuals, then they could remember what it was that, that person had told them or for certain things that they had blocked out or whatever. So the Dallas police are using this on a regular basis, and it's becoming more mainstream in the police fields nationwide. So we'll keep you updated on how that's going across the country, outside of the Dallas area, and in different parts of the country as it grows. But right now, that's where it was used in the news lately.
So using hypnosis for crime fighting, that is not a superpower, I take it.
No, not at all.
Man.
I know, baby, sorry.
I have tights that I could wear.
Yeah, that's just frightening. So anyway, there's hypnosis in the news. Now we're going to do a did you know, a little frequently asked questions and or tidbits of information about hypnosis or in relation to hypnosis that people may or may not be aware of.
And this is all new to me, too, so I guess, is it, did I know?
You're on a need-to-know basis, baby.
Apparently.
Yes, yes. So did you know that hypnosis is used by a large, large number of professional as well as collegiate and high school athletes?
I did know that.
Good job. It's been used by most of the PGA Tour players and basketball players. I could name names, but I won't.
Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods has a hypnotist on staff.
Okay, but you won't, apparently.
And who the Payne Stewart, wasn't he the one that died in the plane crash? He had his hypnotist on the plane with him when the plane went down.
He killed him?
On accident.
Huh. Okay. So, yes, hypnosis has become, that's old news. That's not anything new, but people, I guess, never really thought about it. And you'll hear players all the time talk about getting in the zone. We work with a lot of athletes, and they always talk about the zone, getting in the zone, getting to that place. And
I was doing a I was doing a talk this morning for a service club, and somebody asked me, who was a runner, if he went into the zone and he would breathe better, the pain would go away, and it seemed like nothing could stop him when he got into a marathon. And he asked me if that is the zone and if that's what we teach people how to do. And it is exactly what we teach people how to do when it comes to hypnosis.
Right, right. People don't realize that they use hypnosis, you know, pretty much every single, well, you do it naturally, obviously, several times a day, but they don't realize that they're doing it on purpose, too. Athletes, a lot of athletes who use hypnosis don't know that they're using hypnosis. A lot of high school coaches especially, and this is, you know, going to be the topic of the entire show here in a moment, but high school athletes especially, the coaches have been using hypnotic, not necessarily inductions, so to speak, but hypnotic languages and neurolinguistic programming with their athletes for years and years and years to work with them. And if anybody's ever sat in, you know, on a practice and you hear the coach saying, all right, visualize the ball going through the hoop, you know, time after time again, visualize yourself making that. It's a hypnotic induction, and that's what they're doing. So it's not new. It's not anything new. But people don't realize or haven't realized that they're being hypnotized.
It's very misunderstood because
right.
of what people have the concept of what hypnosis really is from the TV and the movies. It's nothing like Office Space where it just dies in the middle of the session and he's hypnotized for the rest of the movie. You can't do that.
Right. And then, yeah, you're not going to see a basketball player, you know, running down the field like a chicken. It's just not the case. They use hypnosis. It's a whole different, and that's what we talked about, I think, on our very first show, is that hypnosis isn't what traditionally people think of. It's just a place that you go mentally, and you kind of, I don't want to even say check out for a minute, because that's not it. You're more aware of what you're doing and your own actions and reactions, etc. So it's not anything abnormal or odd or weird. It's just, you know, gardening. People get into a zone when they garden. They don't call it the zone necessarily. But people get into a place where they're, you know, focused on what goes where and what goes together. And, you know, the neighbor walks up and starts talking. You don't even know. So people are hypnotized all the time.
Yeah. I actually had a surgeon.
Because of the man of many words.
Yeah. You were talking about gardening. I actually had a surgeon that has nothing to do with gardening, but it's a similar case several years ago, who said he couldn't be hypnotized, and he had tried before with a couple other hypnotherapists, and it just didn't work. So the first thing I asked him when he came in was, you know, why are you coming to me then if you can't be hypnotized? And he said, well, it's not that I don't think I can be hypnotized. Nobody's ever been able to do it. Well, people go into hypnosis about four times an hour, so he can do it. He just didn't know how to do it on purpose. So I had him think about a recent surgery that took about an hour for him to do. And he said, yeah, I can do that. So I said, close your eyes, and I want you to walk yourself through that. Just pay attention to all the details from start to finish, just like you were actually there. I let him get about 4 to 5 minutes into imagining that with his eyes closed, just kick back in the chair. And then I started to give him suggestions about what he came for me to do. And he went into a deep, deep trance. It's, if you equate it to a flashlight, if you go into a room and you shine a flashlight around, you're going to see parts of the room in a broad perspective. But if you take a laser pointer in the room, you're going to see a very narrow beam and a very narrow space of that room. That's what hypnosis does. Hypnosis helps you narrow your thoughts down to a laser pinpoint accuracy so you can concentrate on exactly what you want to concentrate on and make those changes in behavior or ideas. Or think you see a 50-foot French poodle or whatever you are looking for.
Good analogy, baby. Good job. You would think you're like a hypnotist or something.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Now we're going to... it is. It is. We're going to move on now. We're going to Bill and Nikki update and coming events. which I'm going to let you do because my calendar has like half of them. So do the update, and then we're going to go into what the topic of today's show is.
Here's a novel idea, though. If you pull up our website on your computer, which is www.bill-nicky.com, and go to the What's Up link that's on the left-hand side, we have everything posted up there, and there's calendars down at the bottom of that page, and the days that we have something on are highlighted in yellow, so if you'd like to hire us out, we can also get your event highlighted in yellow. So we have, what do we have coming up? Singleton City, but that's just for our area here, which is kind of, I don't know, how would you put it? It's kind of a
matchmaking event.
Yeah, and sometimes we do speed dating. Yeah. And we're going to be doing a couple of things there. I'm going to let you talk on. We're going to be doing the entertainment side, because I also do the entertainment side of it. So I have a stage show that I call people on stage and make them do the really silly things. But we're going to talk and actually teach some stuff before I do my show. At least that's how I think it's going to go. But what is it that we do that we're going to teach at this thing?
We're working with people on not necessarily speed dating, but building rapport, building relationships, how to talk to people, how to use hypnotic language and body patterns in order to meet an individual, build rapport, and get to know somebody at a much quicker rate, not necessarily, you know, for a bad reason, for the good reason. You can, you know, you see a hot guy across the room or a beautiful woman and you don't have the nerve to go up and talk to him. We can teach you how to build rapport without saying a word, how to use mirroring and matching and, you know, some other things along those lines so that you can build an awareness with this individual that you want to talk to without saying words.
And there's more things more important than words than to build rapport. And if you don't know what rapport is, the definition I use of rapport is if two people are like each other, they tend to like each other. So it's like when you're sitting in a room and somebody yawns or you yawn and everybody else in the room yawns. That's rapport. You kind of have a connection with them. But you don't do it by words alone. Words are the least effective way to build rapport.
Right.
But that's what people use when they go into a bar and they say, you know, do you come here lately or what's your sign?
Your leg's tired because you've been running through my mind all night.
That's great. Are you ready to go home? So.
Yes, yes. Exactly. So those are the things that we teach people and work on. We work with people on motivation for the same shy guy or gal that doesn't want to go across the room to talk to somebody. We work with them on self-confidence, motivation, self-esteem, different issues like that. We work with people once they're in a relationship on...
staying in it.
Well, yeah, but I was going to go into the, you know, things that help them do that. Communication, the same, you know, flirting, it's important that you keep the spark alive once you're in a relationship. So those kinds of things are what we teach and work with. We have another course that we do here in Columbus, and if you don't know, we're in Ohio. But for people here, we have a program called Dating After Divorce that we work with a lot of individuals, primarily women, but that's not always the case. Women primarily who have been divorced or just gotten divorced, been married for several years, and they just don't know what to do. So we walk them through some steps and get them comfortable with dating and the whole, you know, single scene again.
Why is it primarily women? I know the answer, at least the way I answer it, because I talked to the service club this morning and somebody asked me that, but what would you say?
Because women are more likely to admit that they need help.
Yeah, that's what I told them. Women are more, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I even get more women that are in the stage show that I do. I like to think it's because I'm good looking.
You are, baby.
But I think it's because, you know, they're more outgoing when they're out with a group of friends.
Yeah.
And guys don't like to embarrass themselves in front of other people, and they don't like to ask for help. So that's why I'd say about 70 to 75% of our clients are women.
Correct.
Right? And the 25% are men.
Yes. That is correct. What else do we have coming up, baby?
Well, we're teaching classes at local hospitals. We're actually doing some things with another hospital, but that would only pertain to you guys if you were in the Columbus, Ohio area.
Well, if you want to hire us to come to you.
We do. We travel all around. We do hypnosis training. So if you want to learn hypnosis, we have a way that you can learn hypnosis for free. And all you have to do is go to our website at bill-nicky.com, got a question link, which is our contact page, and just send us a message, because we can show you how to become a hypnotherapist and for free. We
can get certified. They can get certified, too.
Yes. Yes, they can. Get certified through the Society of Applied Hypnosis, which is who I train through. But a lot of other organizations also recognize the training class. So it's a really good program. You guys will be happy. If you want to learn hypnosis, just log on to the website, and we can tell you how to do that.
Fantastic. We also have some events coming up with the CW. We don't have any dates for those yet.
Which is a television network.
Yeah, it's nationwide. I don't know what we're doing is going to be aired nationwide, hopefully. But we'll keep you updated on that as well. All right, today's conversation.
Wait, I got
something. Oh,
hey. If people log on to the website and go to What's Up, you can download video, you can download audio of things that we've done. And ESPN Radio doesn't have it, but we have it for a couple other radio stations. NBC we did an interview with, and you can look at that. And what else? Newspaper clippings, and you can kind of learn a little bit more about us also. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
That's all right, baby. Okay, now, can I finish that sentence now? Are you done?
I'm complete, yes.
Awesome. Okay. Now we're going to talk about today's show topic, and it relates back to the did you know fact. We're going to talk about hypnosis in the schools and dealing with children, and different ways that hypnosis is being used for children, can be used for children. And we're doing this for a couple of different reasons, to bring light to the situation, number one, and number two, because as you and I discussed a little bit earlier today, hypnosis for children is not out of the norm. And when we start talking about some of the ways people use it and have used it, you're going to be amazed that you didn't realize that your kids have been hypnotized. I don't even know how many times a day. It's not a bad thing. It's a really, really good thing. But nobody uses that word, hypnosis.
Kids are in hypnosis all the time.
Right. But nobody wants to talk about kids in hypnosis because it's, oh, my gosh, what are you going to do to my kids? And, you're going to use it for these awful, horrible things. And what's my son or daughter going to do? All these different concerns that parents have. And it goes back to the same thing that we say with hypnosis as a general rule of thumb with everything. Is, if you give a gun to a criminal, it's going to be used for bad things. If you give a gun to a police officer, it's going to be used for good things. So check out your hypnotist and check out who is hypnotizing your children to make sure that what they're getting is appropriate and that they're not doing anything abnormal or bad with your kids, obviously. So just check it out.
And I would like to think that most of them don't. But
right.
Any profession you get you out there that do.
Correct. That's so true. And, there's going to be the one in a million that learns hypnosis and does it to, take advantage of children. So he's the one that you have to watch out for. But on a positive spin, hypnosis for children. This is another article that I found in the news. CBS, again, who did the earlier news story, did a story on hypnosis for children. And what they say is that children are better candidates for hypnosis, and that the process can help resolve such problems as pain, anxiety, bedwetting, and asthma. What they are saying, we're going to talk about two different sides of this. We're going to talk about the clinical side for children and the athletic side for children. So we're going to talk about how people are using it in the schools as far as athletically, et cetera, how they're using it in the schools for education. Actually, I guess there's a few different sets to this. And we're also going to talk about how they're using it for different health reasons, different things like that.
And you won't find any studies on hypnosis in kids because in the U.S., I don't know about anywhere else, but I think it's about the same, you can't do clinical studies on children, even with drugs or therapy or anything. So that is why if you search, you'll find some papers on it, but you won't find any studies done on it.
Right. And that's kind of in this story, it touches on a little bit of that. I mean, it doesn't say they can't do studies. It just, kind of in a roundabout way says what they could find out. Excuse me. Now, there's a few different things on this. The first thing I want to touch on is for health reasons. And this is something that, Bill, you and I are talking with one of the children's hospitals here locally about working with their cancer patients. Hypnosis has been used for children with cancer for years and years and years. What it does, we have worked with a lot of cancer patients. I don't know that we've worked with many children, if any, cancer patients that are children. It's the same thing. It's just obviously a little bit stronger for children, or I guess easier to do. But what we do, we use hypnosis for cancer patients for dealing with the pain of chemotherapy. We can't cure cancer. I want on record, I am not saying that we can cure cancer or make it go away or anything like that.
Yeah, we can't cure anything, but we help people with it.
Right. We can just help you deal with it. Now, I will say I'm a firm believer in what your mind can do, and, you know, you've heard me say it a million times. If you believe it, you can achieve it. It's my personal mantra. If you believe anything, if you believe you can beat cancer, I personally believe that you can. But hypnosis isn't going to do that.
No, and I always tell people, you know, you can try acupuncture, hypnosis, and chemotherapy, and do everything, because I know if I get cancer, I'm doing everything I don't care.
You better, because if not, you're going to have to answer to me. but anyway, so hypnosis is being used for children with cancer for dealing with the pain of chemotherapy. And we can deal with some of the more specific things that they're dealing with the cancer as well. We had a patient that had throat cancer and couldn't swallow, so we helped her to learn how to swallow again, different things like that. So you can do a lot of different things with it, but the basic use of hypnosis for cancer patients is that, to deal with the pain. Now, you can also use it for students who get anxiety, kids who get anxiety. That has become, for whatever reason, a lot more prevalent in our youth, and by youth I mean very young, 4 to 6, 4 to 7 years old, and I think it's the fast-paced society. Of course, that's my personal opinion, but kids have become so much more anxious than they ever were when we were kids, and stressed beyond all belief, and just so overwhelmed with day-to-day activities. And I think anxiety is a huge factor in some of these kids' lives. So you can use hypnosis to help with anxiety, bedwetting, asthma, you know, all of those different clinical things, the clinical side of everything. You can also use it for the typical, you know, weight loss like we do with adults, especially with the children now, you know, weight has become such an issue, and our society is growing bigger and bigger every day. So we can use it for those things as well. Now, in the schools, you can use hypnosis for, along the same lines as the anxiety, you can use it for the test taking, for students who have difficulty taking tests. You can use it for focus, for kids who have a difficult time focusing.
And there's a lot of kids that have problems taking tests.
Yes, yes. Especially when they reach the high school age, kids get so anxious and stressed out, and they just can't take tests. And there are a lot of kids who are A-plus students, 4.0 grade average, but it comes to taking a test, they know the information, they have everything, you know, right there at their disposal mentally, but they just can't do it. So we can work with students with that. And schools already do. That's the big key factor in all of this, and that's what we're discussing. There's a lot of teachers across the country who are already using hypnotic languages and working with some of these children, pulling kids aside who are having anxiety attacks, et cetera, and using the calm soothing techniques and hypnotic languages, et cetera. It's way more mainstream than I think people ever imagined.
Yeah, and it's becoming more mainstream, you know, as
right.
You know, as time goes by.
Correct. Now, hypnosis for sports, and we're going to go back over all of these again. I just want to kind of lay them out first, and then we'll talk a little bit more in depth about each one of these here in a minute. Hypnosis in sports. this is the one that it just gets me, because I know as a student, and even, you know, back in the days playing T-ball, I remember some of the things that my coach used to say. And I remember some of the practices, and, you know, I started for wrestling. I remember those things that the coaches were telling the kids then. It's everything they teach is in hypnotic language. They use hypnosis in every single practice. Every single one.
What do you mean?
Well, because when you go to a practice, for football is a big one. Football is a big, big one. A lot of the teams, well, most of the teams, before the game, before a big practice, you know, they have usually every day after school have a practice, and then they'll have one big, you know, 2-hour, 3-hour practice, whatever. But they will have the whole team gather around, and the coach goes through a hypnotic induction. He doesn't say, hey, I'm going to hypnotize you guys, you know, but he'll say, all right, everybody buckle down, sit down, we're going to have a talk, I want you all to sit down, get comfortable, here's what's going to happen this Friday night. You guys are going to get out there, and you're going to kick butt, and I want you to picture in your mind. It's not, again, it reverts back to hypnosis isn't what you think. You don't have to be calm and soothing to be using hypnosis. So the coach is excited, and he's, you know, talking really fast, and he's really excited, and he's really anxious, and, you know, think about it, and I'll point to the kicker, you know, think about getting that football through the goal, you're going to do it, you can do it, picture it in your mind.
That was your T-ball coach?
No, I said I'm talking about football. We've moved on, dear, keep up. In T-ball is a big one, too, because the coaches, you know, I was pathetic. I'm so not an athlete in any way, shape, or form. But the coach would put your head down, keep your eye on the ball. I want you to imagine the bat hitting the ball. Imagine the bat hitting the ball. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you feel it? Feel your hands. Put your hands on the bat. That's hypnosis. They're doing it with the, you know, 4- and 5-year-olds. So it's not, you know, it reverts again back to the, it's, football is, I think, probably the easiest example you can give. T-ball's a good one, too, but football's the easiest one you can give, because that's, anybody who's sat through a football practice knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I don't know, in all honesty, that the coach even realizes what they're doing. People use hypnosis and don't even know that's what they're doing. They don't realize that, A, that they don't have to be talking like this, and sit back, relax, let your mind wander, close your eyes, get comfortable.
There's a lot of hypnotists that do that.
Correct. Most hypnotists do that.
They pour you into a trance.
Yes. And it's taught that you need to speak very slowly and very monotone. Don't get excited. Keep everything one key. Drag sentences out. That's the way that hypnosis is traditionally taught. That's not to say it's wrong, but dear God, I mean, yeah, I could fall asleep. I'm not hypnotized. I'm asleep. I want somebody to relate to me, and that's what the coaches do. That's why it works so well, is these guys are excited. They are pumped. They want to get out on that field, and you know, he'll take them through several emotions, you know. He'll take them through anger. He'll take them through excitement. He'll take them through the pain and anguish of if they lose. He'll take them through, you know, I mean, this is a massive induction. And I guarantee you that probably 90% of the kids sitting in that practice have no idea that they're being hypnotized, nor do their parents. That's not a bad thing. It's just that I want people aware that they've been hypnotized, you know, and you'll hear people talking about, oh, no, that hypnosis stuff, oh, no, you're not going to do that to me. And have you ever played sports? Then you've been hypnotized. Have you ever sat through a classroom, school of any kind? You've been hypnotized. You know, have you ever driven your car? You've been hypnotized. It's so natural, and it happens so often, and I think that's the big thing, is that people just don't realize. So, okay, baby, any 2 cents you want to add in to me on?
Oh, you're doing well. Keep it up. I mean, you had the headache last week, you know. You're doing it this week, so.
Right. Gotcha. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Oh, not a problem.
I appreciate it. All right. So hypnosis in the schools, let's revert back for a moment. There are a lot of psychologists. Every school has a psychologist, a counselor, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. They have a whole team of mental professionals at your disposal. Most of them are trained in or have been, at the very least, touched on hypnosis. And a lot of times I think even the practitioner there in the school doesn't realize that they're going to be using the hypnosis. They get in a situation, a student comes in and, you know, such and such happened in the classroom, or student's in trouble for ABC, you know, who knows. And they sit them down and start talking and start going through a whole conversation. And again, it's one of those situations where I don't know that these individuals themselves even know what they're doing. Now, why is it so hush-hush, and why is it that if it is hypnosis and these kids are hypnotized and that's what they're doing, nobody talks about it? But why is that? Well, there's a lot of reasons.
I don't think they know they're doing it.
That's number one. Good job, baby.
Is this a need-to-know thing, or what do you know?
No. This is just a answer me.
I was watching something else on the computer, sorry.
It's good to know that I am holding your interest, baby. Thank you for that vote of confidence.
Always hold my interest.
Except when I'm talking, apparently.
I thought you were talking to them.
Yes, I am. So anyway, now you know, I lost my train of thought. I'm back.
Because they don't know they're doing it.
Right. I think that's the primary reason. People honestly don't know, and it's funny to me. There are people who go through, you know, certification after certification after certification of hypnosis, and we are in that group. And then there are these, you know, John Doe, who doesn't even know what hypnosis is, who is using it every single day.
Who's John who?
John Doe. As in, like, the football coach or the, you know, school psychologist or whatever. These people who don't realize what they're doing and are using it very effectively with their students and you know, the athletes.
You know why that is, right?
Why?
Because I tell people in the first class, the very first day, the first hour when I do a hypnosis training, that hypnosis isn't like calculus, for example. If you learn calculus, you have to learn something new and memorize it and regurgitate it on a test and then forget about it later when you become an adult. But with hypnosis, it's not like that, because you're not learning something you don't know. You're learning something that you already know how to do, but you're learning
right.
How to, I guess, hone your skills and do it on purpose. So the coaches, they are doing it. It's just natural for them. They don't know
right.
that they're doing it. And it really becomes powerful if you know how to do it on purpose, because then you can really make it, what word am I looking for? You can make it effective. Yeah, I mean, it's effective, but you can make it really effective if
right.
you know exactly what you're doing and what kind of language to use.
Right. And that's the thing, is like the football coach, for example, has learned through leadership. It's how he was taught when he was going through football himself. And, you know, it's drilled into you. Most football players who turn into a coach, or I guess I should say most coaches, have been in or around the sport by the time they're a coach for, you know, 15 years plus. In some cases, in most cases probably. You know, they're going from middle school, high school, college, and then they, you know, go into the coaching arena or go pro or whatever. But by the time they get to where they're dealing with children, it's been drilled into them for so, so many years. It's second nature.
Hey, I found the article.
Oh, you got it finally?
Well, no.
Nikki?
Nikki emailed me the article 2 times today, and I never got it, so I don't know if it was me or you or what it was, but I finally found it, though.
We're going to go out on a limb and say it wasn't me.
And what I'll do is, since we're talking about this, I can put a link to the article on our website.
That would be fabulous.
And then you can go to Be Resourceful and look up the article and read it.
You can actually read both of these. I will email the other article as well, because I think I emailed you Hypnosis for Children.
The one that you have on your computer screen right now is what I'm looking at.
Okay, that's Hypnosis for Children. But we could also put up there the hypnosis used as a crime-fighting tool, which was the hypnosis in the news that we did this week.
I'm going to stay on the mic. But I'm gonna, you might hear me clicking because I'm gonna go ahead and put that up on our website so anybody that's listening can go ahead and log on too and download it.
Fantastic.
And if, when you are listening, you can also give us a call or you can log on to our website. And remember, the website is bill-nikki.com. It's bill-nikki.com. Take you right over to our website. You can find a link to BBS Radio right on the front page, so you can find us on bbsradio.com also. Or you can give us a call right now while we're on the air at 1-877-876-5227. Now, if you've downloaded this later, because they do archive this show, you're not going to get us if you call 1-877-876-5227, but you can still log into our website, shoot us an email, or give us a call at the phone numbers you see on there.
Thanks, baby. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the, you know, why it's so taboo to hypnotize children, et cetera. There are a few questions, again, in this article that we pulled up, but I want to kind of go through. Children can be hypnotized as early as age 3. From personal experience, he has found that children 5 or older respond best to hypnosis.
And why is that?
They can focus easier.
That and about age 3 is when they can really understand language.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It's common sense for you guys listening. If they can't talk, you probably can't hypnotize them.
Right. The easiest way to hypnotize a child is to have them focus on a point. Have their eyes begin to feel heavy, become sleepy, and you have them in a trance-like state. It's really that easy. A lot of times what we do is have them imagine their favorite TV show and, you know, see the scenes, see the, hear the noise, see the characters, etc.
Yeah, I do something called a dreaming arm, which is, if you're a hypnotherapist and you're listening, it's really effective with kids because you can sit them down and you can, you work with their non-dominant brain. So if they're right-handed, you work with their left hand and vice versa if they're left-handed. So you lift their arm up and explain to them that this is their dreaming arm and that they can really, really watch their favorite TV show as their arm is straight up in the air. And you lift up their arm, have them close their eyes, and imagine that they're watching their favorite TV show, and you'll get catalepsy. And for those of you who aren't hypnotists, and catalepsy is a foreign word, it just means that some part of your body is stiff. So their arm is straight up in the air, and they'll hold it there for like half hour, 2 hours, whatever. And you, as long as the arm's up there and they got their eyes closed and they're watching their favorite TV show in their own mind, you can tell them anything you want to, and it'll go right in.
Fantastic.
You don't sound too excited about that.
And I was stuck on a catalepsy. Sorry, baby.
Well, you know, when we have an adult show instead of about kids, we'll teach you, you know, people that have certain problems and how to make certain parts of your body stiff and straight.
That's where I'm stuck. Here's a good question. What role, if any? Now, this is if you are having your child hypnotized. We've kind of moved on a little bit here. And I want to talk for a moment. We don't have too much longer left, but I wanted to talk for a moment about if you want to have your child hypnotized and if you're going to do it on purpose. So hypnotizing children, what to look for, how to do it, etc. So one of the questions that the interviewer in this article asked was, what role, if any, does the parent play during a hypnosis session? And as in any therapy, it's important for the parents to know what's going on. In the actual session, the parent is either not there or in the background. So they really don't play any part in the actual therapy. It's important, the parent is usually there. I think what they mean by not there is not in whatever the child is imagining, number one, and or they're not physically right in front of the child.
Oh, yeah, I always have parent in the room when we do anything.
Yeah.
The parent is in the room. As a matter of fact, when adults come in, I want a husband or wife or a friend there.
Yes.
I used to videotape, and it's not because anything I would do, but, you know, people are so happy.
Yes.
And so you want the parent in the room.
Right.
And if you go to a hypnotherapist, and you want to take your child, and they say you can't be in the room, you need to find another one.
Yeah, run. Get out quick. That's a bad sign. How many times does a typical child visit a hypnotist? Most children attend 4 to 8 sessions.
Which is a lot. I mean,
right.
With this article that they did, and they're mentioning that, that's a lot.
It is a lot. I would say typically 2 to 3 is probably ideal for a child because they do absorb things much quicker than an adult. They're so much easier to work with. And with adults, they're more, I don't know if cynical is the word I want to use, but they definitely have their own thoughts and inhibitions and all of these other things that you have to take in effect and work around. Kids just don't have that. So kids are a lot easier if you're trying to make a change, like bedwetting or the anxiety or, you know, different things like that. It's so much easier to work with a child than with an adult. So 4 to 8 sessions, 8 I would think is absolutely extreme. 4 I would say is probably about the maximum that you would need to go.
Mainly because I don't want to work with an adult that wets the bed.
I'm talking kids, baby.
Yeah.
I'm with you. How do I know if my child is a candidate for hypnosis? Well, any child is a candidate. There are a few times when you can't hypnotize. Autistic children, there are some autistic children that you can still hypnotize, but for the most part, autistic and mental retardation, we can't hypnotize anyone, can't hypnotize children, because you need to be able to focus and you need to be able to concentrate. And those individuals have a little bit more difficult time doing that. So,
high level functioning autistic children I have worked with, but you know, it's just a matter of evaluation. You know, if you're right on that borderline, find a hypnotherapist and ask them or ask your doctor.
Right.
Also, head injuries. Did you say that?
I did not.
Head injuries. You know, if you have a car crash and you know, somebody gets a head injury, sometimes depending on the type of head injury, that it's hard to hypnotize somebody just because it's hard to keep them focused.
Right. How effective is hypnosis in children? In the right children, it says, in the right children, I think in any child, hypnosis can be very successful. Remember, there are some children who have a harder time letting go, but for those who can, the results can be very positive. Here's the big thing for me. Another plus of hypnosis is that unlike drugs, the risk of harm is low. The only real problem with hypnosis and
I watch it there because there's no real problems with it.
No. I'm wording that wrong. That's why I was pausing. The only, like with drugs, there are so many risks. The only risk with hypnosis is a bad hypnotist.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, if you get somebody who's shady who's going to use the hypnosis to do bad things, that's the only risk because hypnosis itself, there's no side effects. It's not like you're going to get hypnotized and, you know, nausea. You know, when you see those commercials and it says, you know, no more runny noses, but, oh, by the way, you can have a heart attack and your liver could fail and you could have a skin rash and on and on and on and on and on. There's no side effects with hypnosis. So,
well, there's side effects, but no bad side effects.
Right.
The side
right.
effects that you get with hypnosis are like lower blood pressure and
they're the result,
you know,
right.
less
right.
stress and
right.
all that stuff. Just, it doesn't matter what kind of hypnosis you do. If you do it, you can concentrate better, have lower blood pressure,
right.
less stress, you handle problems better. So it's all good side effects.
Right. Correct. That's what I was trying to say. Good job, baby. Thank you.
Oh, you would have done it eventually.
It would have taken me another 5 minutes, but yeah, I got there.
You're going to beat me after this show.
Honey, don't talk about that on air. So anyway, it's very effective. There's not really any downside. And again, that's why it's so helpful with like the cancer and other illnesses and diseases with children. Hypnosis is so effective because you can deal with some of the side effects from the medicines that they are taking, some of the side effects from their own disease or problems. And there's nothing, no harm. There's no problem. Worst case scenario, they're really relaxed. You know, whoo, that's an awful one. Why aren't more doctors using hypnotism? It's just not that taught that much in schools, and some people don't want to recognize it as a viable alternative. I was reading an article, and I'm going to have to find it again. Actually, I stole it, baby. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Out of the magazine from, where were we?
I don't know.
But
I did.
I know where we were at.
Well, I do too. We were in the courthouse.
Yeah. Not because of us, but we have fighting for some kids. You won. So good.
But yeah, that's really not good to admit that I stole from a courthouse, huh?
Tell anybody.
It was just an article. But here's why I took it. It was an article about saying that if you talk to your doctor or are talking to a doctor and you ask about using hypnosis or really any kind of alternative therapy, acupuncture, Reiki, any of those, hypnosis primarily, and your doctor says no or says that he doesn't condone it or that it's not an acceptable treatment, it says in this article that you need to find another doctor because they are not admitting the benefits, and there have been, at this point, hundreds, I do believe, maybe even thousands of studies done. There's no disputing that hypnosis is helpful. It's, you know, the medical benefits are absolutely countless.
It's like if you ask doctors, it's about a 50-50 split. I've worked a lot with physicians, and some of them believe in hypnosis, and some of them don't. And those that don't believe in hypnosis say, well, you don't have to believe in air either, but it's good for you. But it's the same split, believe it or not, as chiropractors.
Yes.
If you ask a physician, you'll get about 50% of them that just don't like chiropractors, and the other 50% do. So it depends on your physician.
Right. And another thing, too, I think even the doctors that don't necessarily agree with hypnosis will tell you, A, there's no bad side to it, and B, they'll tell you, worst case scenario, you're going to come out really relaxed and feeling a whole lot better. So even the ones that don't necessarily, you know, condone or send you off to a hypnotist, they're not going to say bad things about it. They just don't, you know, primarily refer people out.
Right, and I've trained a lot of physicians and nurses in the past, so, and the problem is you may see a physician on his wall when you go in that he's certified in hypnosis.
Yeah.
But he won't use it, and the reason is because of managed care and everything else, they do not have time to sit down and spend that kind of time with somebody.
Right. I think that, again, is, I hate to keep using the word mainstream, but it's becoming more mainstream, especially in the pediatric healthcare, is using hypnosis and having doctors and nurses trained in hypnosis just because of, it kind of reverts back to the anxiety. Kids are so stressed and anxious and out of sorts, so to speak, that the doctors are looking for as many alternatives as they can to medicating children and, you know, doing some of the more traditional means of treatment.
So not to interrupt you there, babe.
Go ahead.
And I'm allowed to call her babe. If you call in, you have to call her Nikki. I've been over here clicking. So if you go to our website at bill-nikki.com, that's bill-nikki, N-I-K-K-I.com, and go to the link on the left side that's Be Resourceful. You'll go to a page with all kinds of things on it, but you page about halfway down, and there's a heading, hypnosis-related articles. And then right under that is hypnosis for children, and you can click on that and go right to the article that Nikki is referring to.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm good for something.
You're good for lots of things, baby. So I think hypnosis has become a lot more widely accepted. I think the one area where it still is kind of an absolute no-no, so to speak, parents don't want to talk about hypnotizing their kids. They just don't. It's, you know, it's becoming a little bit more acceptable. I think that's kind of the purpose of doing today's show is we want parents and teachers and anybody who deals with children to understand they're already doing it. Parents hypnotize their kids on their own 14 times a day at least.
Which is funny because that's a running joke we get all the time when somebody finds out we're hypnotists. They're like, can you hypnotize my kids? I can't hypnotize mine. They won't sit down long enough.
But you do. You do hypnotic induction, not hypnotic inductions. You use hypnotic language and different things with your children. You know, you give them suggestions. Hypnosis is a suggestion. So you give them suggestions how many times a day, honestly. So it shouldn't be stereotyped the way that it is.
No, and if I can give an example, can I give an example?
Absolutely.
I'll give an example. When I do my stage show, I can suggest to somebody, if I look at you with my left eye closed, and you will instantly go back to sleep. And then they, you know, I look at them, I close my left eye, and they go out. They just hunch over. Now, you can also do this with a child. If you're a parent, or if you were a kid at one time, you know that parents have a look. So
everybody,
when they give the look,
was a kid at one time.
I was trying to get everybody in the group. So if you know that parents have a look, and if the child gets that look, they know they're in trouble. So I ask, what's the difference between if I'm on stage and I'm doing a wink and the person goes into a state, which is a relaxed state, and they close their eyes, or if you give that look to the child and all of a sudden they get that feeling inside because they know they're in trouble. That's what we mean by you're hypnotizing your kids all the time. There's no difference there. You have trained them. You've conditioned them to have that response.
Right. It's the same thing with if you have a certain ritual when you come in the door every day from work. You know, if you have a sitter in the house and you come in the door, you put down your stuff, you get both of the kids a drink of water, you whatever your ritual is, if you come in the door one time and do something different, they're going to do the exact same thing because you've suggested to them already that, that this is the way that it's going to be. So it's become a habit, and that's it's a suggestion that you're using regularly. So it's along those same lines. It's just different things that you're doing with your kids already every single day that you don't realize.
Hey, babe, we're about 50 minutes after the hour, which means we get about 5 minutes left. And I know you sent me over a schedule earlier. Are we on schedule? Do we need to do anything else, or are we okay?
We're okay.
She keeps me in line.
I do. But thank you, O-Town Crier, for the time. do you have anything that you want to wrap up with?
Nope, go ahead.
Ah.
You did not do the show last week because you had to whatever you want.
Oh, thank you so kindly. All right, well, I guess just a few parting thoughts, and then we'll kind of wrap things up here. If you get online and see any hypnosis articles or see hypnosis in the news or any interesting facts, if you have any questions and want to get them over to us, number one, I would love ideas for now we have the hypnosis in the news. And these are things that we're going to do from here on. We're going to do these pretty much regularly. I'd like to try to have hypnosis in the news at the top of every show, have kind of a did you know something that we can do in there, do the updated coming events, and let you know where we're at, what we're doing.
I liked it because it made me feel smart because I did know those
things. I hope so, baby. But anyway, those are going to be standard from here out. So if you have something that you would like us to attend and like us to be at and you want us to announce it on our coming events, email us, let us know. If you have a fact that you know that I might not, that you want to include for the did you know part, email it over. If you go on the website, you can also text message us. Don't do that. That would be really bad because I don't even want to know what the fees is for that are for that. But
I don't know if you do that.
I think you can.
Oh, there is a fees. If you go to our website, you can text messages on our website, and there's no fees.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Correct. You are correct. You are correct.
Until, you know, mine's down until Thursday, though, because my phone is
Okay, so anyway, but you can do that. So you can text us or email us or call us with suggestions for the Did You Know? Hypnosis in the News. I am, from here out, going to be looking for ideas, different things. I'd kind of like them to be a little bit more updated. This one I found, and it related over to kind of what we were doing anyway. The forensic I love. I want to be involved with that somehow, some way. I think that's just amazing. So I kind of wanted to use that as our first one. But I wanted to try to have something, you know, from that week that's happening. So if you know anything, if something's happened locally in your area, shoot it over to us. We can use that for our news story. I would love to do that. You can find us online. If you Google Nikki Gladwell or Bill Gladwell, you can find some of the EVN articles that we've written.
The hospitals we're working with.
And the hospitals that we're working with, right, and some of the programs that we're doing. If you want information to try to get something started in your area, again, shoot us an email, give us a call. We'd be happy to help you get that started or, you know, go there and do it. If we're not available to start it, we would absolutely help you get something going, though. So give us a call for that.
Or show ideas. Show ideas.
Show ideas.
What? We had a psychic on, and we had the president of the Society of Applied Hypnosis on. We had a life coach last week.
Yep.
It's just us this week.
You were my guest, honey.
Oh, thanks.
We're looking at for upcoming in, not in June, in July, knock on wood, I think we're going to have the entire month dedicated to dating and relationships.
Oh, cool. Oh, if you want to be a guest, call us, and we'll tell you if you're interesting enough or not.
Oh, don't do that. Anyway, so if anybody wants ideas, any information, give us a call. We would love to help you out. If you want to set up a hypnosis training in your area and or get information on free hypnosis training, give us a call, shoot us an email. Really, any questions, concerns, issues, anything that you need, we are here for you. So let us know. We would be more than happy to help you out. And I hope that you liked today's format. I hope that it was a good change. I hope everybody enjoyed. So let us know that, too.
And just go to our website at bill-nikki.com. That's bill-nikki.com. Send us a text message, join our mailing list, shoot us an email, and let us know what you think of the show. And also, we'll tell you if you're interesting or not. So that's about it, right?
That's it.
This week.
That is.
All right. Well, good night and good luck. Is that what they say?
Sure.
Okay. We look forward to hearing from you on the website, and we will be here next Tuesday, same time, same channel.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we look forward to hearing from you and look forward to talking again next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.